Nothing in this recording is intended as investment advice, and the people in this recording may hold positions in the companies they talk about. Do not make any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Hello and welcome to the Oracle Power Quarterly Update. As part of the update, I will be asking Naheed Memon questions which have been sent in by shareholders of the company. How are you today, Naheed?
Hi, Zach. I'm fine, thank you.
Right, the first question that's been sent in is, how does Oracle intend to keep shareholders who've been in the company a long time in a positive situation over the course of the rest of 2023 and 2024?
So as a project developer, we are focused on advancing our projects, and we have, you know, made significant progress even in 23, but a lot of this progress that we are making will start to take shape much more in 2024, and the shareholders would hopefully be getting news about further milestones that we keep hitting as the projects are advancing. In Australia, we've already made significant progress, and there'll be updates soon with respect to our development going on at Northbourne. And in Pakistan, where our significant green hydrogen project is advancing, there'll be further updates with regards to that. So this news flow, which is going to be very positive, which continues to de-risk our development, as well as our strategy of forming partnerships and being able to divest in a timely, a lucrative fashion. And as we have been able to prove and establish that we are on that track, this strategy will take, you know, will become stronger, will take further. And I believe that these outcomes certainly and hopefully should show an increase in the valuation for the company and should benefit the shareholders. And that is our complete 100% focus. And that is the direction we are going in.
As far as funding is concerned, obviously most companies, you know, you go to the stock market to get funding from shareholders, but are there any other alternatives to the to shareholders putting their hands in their pockets?
Yes, I'm often asked that, and I see that as another question that has come up, and generally around the funding issue. We are clearly in a liquidity crunch globally. However, we are on the capital market, and whereby we have the support of our shareholders and investors, and as in myself and other key shareholders, who tend to contribute to the company and its development of its projects. That is the most reasonable way in the current market scenario. There are other options with respect to convertibles or other loans, etc. And it's not that this company has not ventured in that direction, but just to get standard vanilla loans are extremely expensive in this environment. However, for our major project development to work with larger investors and partners, so our strategy is that for the large project development, to bring in a firm way some of the bigger companies that we're already associated with and we already have agreements with, albeit non-binding at that at this point, but they're still our development partners, and some of them are already co-developing the projects with us. State Grid, for example, is already working very closely with us and is funding some studies. Power China is working very closely with us on some projects in Pakistan. So we have the support of these partners, and we will continue to rely on them to keep supporting the project development. His Highness continues to support the Hydrogen project. So we have this kind of support, and in the very near future, an investment from one of our larger partner base. And this will help support the major project development and take our company into the next phase with respect to success in one of these projects and hopefully in all of them. That is our strategy. And as far as the capital markets is concerned, we are a listed entity, and we also have to maintain our state as one. So there are certain very basic expenditures we need to continue to have the liquidity to sort of incur. And for that reason, we have to seek support of our shareholders, and we are extremely grateful to them for continuing to support us.
Right. Some people think that a share price consolidation is a cosmetic thing to do. You know, the value of the company is the same. But what's your view in terms of a potential share price consolidation for Oracle Power?
You know, I believe that if the fundamentals are stronger, So we've got some success, but bigger success, then nothing can stop us going forward. So a financial restructuring of the sort in any which way does not really alter the real story. So that's our focus. Our focus is on the project development side and on the company fundamentals. And we are, you know, working very hard to make sure that we can actually get these across the line. And then once that happens, the share price in itself hopefully will increase, and we will be able to, you know, we will be in a much stronger position then, and there will be a return on all investments that have been made.
Right. The projects that Oracle are currently working on are many and varied and interesting, but does the company have enough bandwidth, either financial or otherwise, to carry out these projects and see them to get over the line?
So our structure is we set up joint ventures, or that is our intention, right? And so that is the direction we've taken in Australia. Now in Australia, we've finished the, just to give you an example and to help explain our strategy and how we want to sort of replicate this as well in the case of all our projects. So we've signed a farming agreement, which is currently ongoing. In fact, it's already done the first part as promised in the agreement, is the large drilling, diamond drilling program that we've just concluded at Northern Zone. And hopefully we expect results, and hopefully they will be good. You know, that will be a very, very positive outcome, albeit small. This is a small project in the picture for us as a company, because we've got some very large projects in the portfolio. But as a demonstration and as a success, this is huge, because this, that we are able to then form this partnership, which then allows us and our shareholders to benefit from an upside. So we have now not paid for this diamond program at all. Rivers Gold has paid for it as part of the farming agreement, but we de-risked the project. We did all the initial exploration. We established, you know, results that led to the diamond drilling and justified the fact that there should be a larger diamond drilling program to sort of further confirm the risks. So that's the direction we've taken. Now, coming to our larger project in Pakistan, we hope that in a very span of time, we should be able to do something very similar for the hydrogen project. Now, without spelling it out, this is the direction that we are going. So to answer the question, not that our money is going to be put in. We've already invested a lot in the project. But at the same time, I would really like to put this out there. We have only invested 30% of a very large and a significant green hydrogen project. 70% of the project development to date has not come from us, and yet we benefit, and yet we're in control, and yet we guide, and yet we will be able to ride the upside here. So, you know, this is already a demonstration of a successful model. Obviously, because it's a model that doesn't really deliver immediately. There is a certain time that it takes for de-risking. There is a certain time that it takes for projects to kind of reach a point whereby they become viable for a major investment again. This is the time that we need to be slightly patient and just work through it. This is what we are doing. And we hope to do this for all our projects in Pakistan. I mean, I'm very focused right now on ensuring that one, two or more projects in Pakistan get across this very line, which means that we don't need to have such, I mean, nobody spends $3 billion from that. No company. Forget Oracle. Oracle is nothing, a little company. But even the largest companies, this kind of money comes from strategic, large global investors and global companies which come in and put their monies into large project development. What do? We are developers whereby we make it ready. And that is exactly what we will do. And we are focused on delivering. So as far as the financial bandwidth, I hope that, you know, what I've said probably makes the requirements clear. And secondly, with respect to operational bandwidth, so how do we operate? In Australia, we've got a team. We've got a geologist. We've got, you know, a legal, accounting, admin, et cetera, all those people who work with us. And now everybody works, you know, I don't need to be sitting in Perth. I don't need to be anywhere. We run a very tight ship. We don't just waste money. So people are assigned to different projects in different places. We set up subsidiary companies, so there is operational bandwidth wherever we go. And this is how to select what we do, because we cannot work in a jurisdiction where we have operational bandwidth. It becomes very difficult, and then it's a waste because you won't be able to manage. And if you can't manage effectively, you're not going to be able to ever. So it all is, you know, sort of linked. So we select projects and what we choose to do based on obviously the prognosis, the market, the prospects, and also our operational bandwidth and our ability to sort of get that critical mass around that operations, meaning are we able to then make a team? Do we trust that jurisdiction? Do we have the right people there? Are we able to work there? So to answer the question, yes, we have the operational bandwidth because of the structure we set it for execution and for development purposes and for financial point of view. That is exactly what we're working for. Bring in the right big companies, the big boys out there who have the financial bandwidth to do something like this, because no company on AIM can raise $3 billion. It doesn't work. That's not even our intention. That's not what we do. We de-risk projects. We start stage development and we take them to a point where we can enjoy a massive and significant upside, hopefully.
Right. The next question is from a shareholder who says that they're pleased with the progress that Oracle's been making on its various projects, but they're concerned that you have to keep on, you know, raising money as you go along. It's a sort of piecemeal process. Is there any way of having just one funding source and then you wouldn't have to keep dipping into shareholders every now and then?
I mean, I can just tell the shareholders that it's very simple. If somebody asks for me for two, I try and settle for one. This is how we manage. We cannot, yes, we probably run one of the tightest ships on AIM. We're very, very careful. Having said, there are certain bare minimal expenditures that we still have to incur with respect to remaining compliant, regulate, and alive. All of this requires some money, even small. So for that kind of money, we have to seek out the support of our shareholders with view to delivering the significant upside that we are working towards. And now, this kind of support, I believe that my company also, and all our directors and our CFO, we continuously explore other options. It's not that we don't, but to seek out any other type of funding turns out to be more expensive and more detrimental in comparison. So this, the way we are managing right now, has appeared to be the most feasible option. Having said that, if there is the support of another, if there's another venue which opens up and someone out there, you know, is able to provide us a support or a strategic support, that would always be welcome. And we are not closed to any such ideas. We are continuously exploring to ensure that we choose the option which works best for our shareholder base and is the least damaging, because obviously we understand all shareholders would like to see an upside sooner than later, and I know there's fatigue, and I know that we are testing patience, and I don't want to give strange explanations about markets and this and that. I mean, that's for everyone to see. But I do also want to communicate that we are very, very aware of the support that we have and of patience that everyone is showing to us. We hope that we are able to deliver sooner than later.
Is it your expectation that the Thar project using solar power would be included in CPEC?
That's a very good question. Is it my expectation? The answer is yes. And I will update the market soon, hopefully, about certain progress that we are working on. But obviously, the market is already aware that once we've announced it, we've announced our collaboration with Power China, that there is work that is going on. As soon as there is something material, we will be updating the market. And because it's Power China, one of the largest power contractors in the world, their support their investment, their funding, their contract support, et cetera, will come best under CPEC, because how they can also get the best support from their financiers, meaning the state-owned, you know, insurance company, lenders, et cetera, et cetera. So work putting into CPEC and executing this project on CPEC will be the most viable way to proceed. And that is something that we already have on our agenda.
In an article in Arabian Gulf Business Insight in March, you explained about starting future projects in the Gulf. Could you describe the financing model that would help Oracle Power to fund your share of the assets or the costs as well?
I mean, I think that Arabian Gulf Business interview was done probably in the context of the support of His Highness. And because His Highness sits in a position of influence in the MENA region, in the Gulf region, etc. So there are opportunities that come his way, and we are always willing to explore those opportunities if recommended by His Highness. And it is in that context that I said that we would be willing to explore opportunity. But that was a sort of an intention. And if there was anything firm, any more definite, or even in terms of a more definite opportunity that we would explore, we would update the market. So at this point in time, there is no specific project or specific opportunity in the region on our agenda or on our horizon at all. But to repeat, we are obviously open to ideas and opportunities, and especially if His Highness was to recommend anything to us.
As far as the green hydrogen project, could you tell us some of the progress there over the last quarter, and what are the key factors contributing to its commercial viability in Pakistan?
That project has, I think, in the last sort of 6 months also made significant progress. We just announced the creation of our most important commercial bankable technical feasibility study for our chemical side of the project, which is ammonia, green ammonia and green hydrogen, which was finished and completed by ThyssenKrupp. So we announced that. That was a huge achievement, because that has and that showed very positive outcome, very positive outlook, establishing the viability of the chemical processing plant to produce the green molecules. So that is a major accomplishment. Other than that, we completed our topography. We installed our wind mast there as well. And as we speak, I've been just waiting for a confirmation for that equipment to get its calibrations right. And, you know, that business is going on. We are in the process of commissioning other studies in relation to, you know, environment, et cetera, and once I have firm sort of confirmation, we will update the market. In parallel, we've already shared this, that our power site and transmission site studies are ongoing, and in fact, this morning I had calls to confirm some timelines for that. So I believe that by the end of this year, we would be in a much stronger position, you know, the de-risking process of the entire project, and that is the way to establish commercial viability, and that is when anybody who wants to be part of this production spectrum globally then comes forward and starts to have firmer conversations about financing and how they can participate, etc. So we are moving very, very quickly and firmly in that direction. And this work is ongoing, and we will continue to update it.
There have been indications, especially comments in the regional and sector media, that your current projects or the current projects of Oracle Power are just the beginning of what you are looking to do. Would you describe the plans and large view strategy for the company over the next few years?
All right. I think I've already discussed this in a lot of detail already. So the beginning is an idea. And then after the idea, you acquire the basic infrastructure and the assets. We've got 28.3 square kilometers of land in the one of the most lucrative wind corridors in the world, where wind speeds are 8 meters per second approximately, which has an annual generation capacity of 5,000 megawatts. We've got land in this corridor. We've got a mining lease if you were to look at that, the coal project. So focused on the green hydrogen right now, because the previous question was about that. So we've already got this. We've got an LOI to produce this power, 1.2 gigawatts, the largest hybrid power production that will take place in Pakistan by any one single entity. We're working on, we commissioned the best companies in the world for the feasibility study. So I'm not sure if this is the beginning or this is right in the center of what we've achieved. On my timelines, well, this is very well advanced, because we are not going to be sitting there and waiting for the hydrogen, green hydrogen and green ammonia to come out and collect it or ship it. No, we are developing the project to a point where the likes of a BP or a PetroChina or an Aqua or you name it, any big company which does projects like this, which is now committed to the green hydrogen space, and all hydrocarbon companies, all petroleum companies, upstream or downstream, they've all got footprints now in this story. If you are bullish on the energy transition, you would want to participate. So all these big companies are talking to people like us. And what we are doing is we are making the project ready for them. And this is not early stage at all. It is fairly advanced stage. But if you think that we are actually going to wait for the green ammonia that comes out of a synthesizer, and that synthesizer will be, you know, will have Oracle Power's name written on it, that's not our business. Our business is to ensure that we make the project ready and commercially viable for a big investor. Not even an investor. This is a huge global company that comes in and does projects like this. This is not an investor which can do this. No private office, no small office can put together a project like this. NEOM, which is the, you know, the biggest green hydrogen project in the world, which is five times the size of our project, has brought three companies in the world. And it's taken them years to get to FID. And these three companies which have done it. So Aprox, ThyssenKrupp, this is all public knowledge. ThyssenKrupp, Air Products, Power. Big, huge companies coming together to put that project on ground. So those are the kind of companies which construct projects. We don't construct projects. For us, we are very well advanced. This is not early stage at all. We're very close. And hopefully, because this is what we're focused on, all our energies are going into this round the clock, that we should be able to complete our job and get this across the line. And then from there onwards, one of these big companies, one, three, and I don't want to explain what type of companies and how they come together and all of that's another story. But these type of companies come together and then take the lead to start the construction and ground development of projects like this. We are prepared the way for that to happen, and we are not stage at all. In Australia, we're already doing it. For the green hydrogen, as I said, we're very well advanced. Yes, in Pakistan, the one project we are early stage is the solar project, because we launched it. But then, you know, as a project developer, next year or maybe the year after, there might be another opportunity for some other project after we've got these across the line that we may select, and then we'll be early stage for that. So this is the nature of our company, and this is the type of our operation. So there'll be some projects in our portfolio which be early stage, one, maybe none, maybe two. There'll be one or two projects which will be very advanced stage. And what is this doing for shareholders? It is continuously mitigating jurisdiction risk. It is continuously mitigating project development stage risk. It is continuously trying to build a portfolio in a way that upside is dominant. And I hope throw some light on our strategy and the way we wish to proceed.
Aheed Mehmon, CEO at Oracle Power, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you, Zach. Thank you very much for today.